Last week we studied about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. This week we're going to begin a series of lessons that focuses on elders, older men who are appointed to oversee local congregations of the Lord, to guide them and to shepherd them in the way that God would have them to. There is a great, great need for elders in the Lord's church today. You know, there are a lot of gospel preachers out there who strive to teach truth. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to know a number of them who are diligent and they are true and they genuinely strive to teach what is right, and that's wonderful. But there's a shortage of elders. There are lots of preachers, but there are lots of congregations that don't have faithful elders overseeing them. There are adult Christians that I know and you know, and that maybe some here, who have been Christians all their adult lives, and they have never been part of a congregation serving under elders. For decades, they've never been under elders. That's a shame. And that's a sad commentary on the state of many local churches. Do we as individuals, and this is what I want us to think about this morning, do we see the need for elders in this local congregation? Because you don't do anything about anything until you see a need for it, right? What does it take to get most people to make a drastic change to their diet? Let's be honest. Some people have the motivation to do it, but what does it usually take? The doctor says, you're going to have to lose some weight. You're going to have to stop smoking. You're going to have to... This is going to kill you if you don't stop. It usually takes seeing a need before we take any drastic effort to do something, right? We need to see the need first, and then we begin taking the steps to do something. Do we see the need for elders in this local congregation? Do we see it as a big deal? Or is it one of those things where we think, hey, you know, everything's pretty smooth. Everything's going well. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And I want us to focus on that this morning. How long would you tolerate unsound teaching from this pulpit? How long? If I started teaching false doctrine this morning, how long before one of the men would stand up and say, that's enough? 1 minute? 5 minutes tops? Just to make sure you're hearing me right? How long would it take before you stopped me? See, we won't tolerate unsound teaching from this pulpit. How long will we tolerate unsound organization of this local congregation? Now, that's a different question, isn't it? I'm afraid we don't think about it very often. There's no way we're going to put up with false teaching. But what about organization that's not according to God's pattern? How long will we put up with that? Something to consider. What do we call it when practices as a local church do not match the pattern that God has set up? What do we call it? Call it error, right? Let's consider that this morning as we look through this topic. I'm afraid that the topic of elders in local churches sort of gets swept under the rug. This is something that should be taught on a regular basis. Because generation after generation, this needs to be dealt with. It needs to be discussed. So, I want to start this morning by looking at different types of churches. And these descriptions we're going to use are simply used to describe them. I mean, you're not going to find this description necessarily in the Bible, but it is a logical way of describing how these groups are organized. All churches, all local churches, fall into one of these four categories that we're going to look at this morning. The first one is scripturally organized. That simply means they are organized according to the pattern of Scripture. Turn to Philippians 1, if you're not already there. Philippians 1, let's look at verse 1 together. Of course, this letter to the Philippians is being written by Paul. Timothy is with him. Verse 1 serves as a greeting, but it also tells us some important things about the church there at Philippi. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And the word bishop there is simply another word for elders. So Paul is writing to the saints, the church that is at Philippi, and he is addressing it to the saints, the elders, and the deacons. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Steve read this for us. We'll be coming back to it a couple more times over the course of the lesson. It was the intention of Paul the Apostle for every local church to have faithful elders overseeing that group. Titus 1, verse 5. For this reason, Paul tells Titus, I left you in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. A couple things should stand out there. He left Titus in Crete to set in order the things that were lacking, which means until each congregation had faithful elders in place, what were they? They were lacking something that God intended for them. Local church is organized according to God's scriptural plan when they have faithful elders overseeing the group with deacons serving under those men. This was Paul's goal for every local church. This is God's goal for every local church. Is this our goal as a body for this local church? Is it that important to us? Another category is scripturally unorganized. Turn to Acts chapter 14. This is the case when you have an organization that is striving to follow God's will and to do what is right, to follow the pattern, but they simply don't have qualified men to serve in the role of elders. We get an example of this in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 1 to set up. Now it happened in Iconium that they were together at the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude of the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews, part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. I read that introductory section for this reason. Paul taught the gospel in this section of Asia Minor, and then he left. He taught the gospel. People became Christians. People obeyed the gospel. Churches, local churches, came into existence. But then Paul leaves. Now drop down to verse 21. Notice what happened. He left for a time, but then he comes back. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, which would be Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So he comes back to encourage them, continue doing what's right in the faith. Verse 23 is the one I want us to look at. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So, a local church can be scriptural for a time without elders, right? Was the church in Lystra, was that a legitimate church? Sure. Was the church in Iconium, was that a legitimate, a faithful church? Yeah. For a time, they didn't have elders. Paul left, there weren't qualified men, but when he came back, he appointed elders. And I think the thing we need to see, you can have a local church that's scriptural without elders for a time, until men are qualified. But this is always meant to be a temporary thing. This wasn't to just continue on and on and on. When he comes back, there are men there, and he establishes them. He appoints them as elders. God's desire is for every. Look at verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church, that is God's plan. That is His pattern. Just as soon as those churches have qualified men, they need to be appointed. Third category we'll look at is unscripturally organized. This is when a congregation has elders appointed, but they don't meet God's qualifications. This is when you have unqualified men in the position of elders. The only thing worse than having no elders is having unqualified elders in the position of elders. And let's talk about why. You now have power and authority in the hands of men who are unfit to wield it. I don't know any other way to say it. That's what that comes down to. This is absolutely terrifying. There are friends of mine I know well and love dearly who are preaching and working with congregations where the elders are not qualified. And so, to give one example, there's one group where some of the members teach false doctrine. That's what it is. It's false doctrine. What should elders, faithful elders, do when false doctrine is being taught by the members? They should stop it. right? Stop up the mouths of those who teach false doctrine. But these men won't do it. The group teaching it is very prominent. They're very important. And so they let it go. Faithful preachers have been there before and had to leave because they can't stay with it. There's a faithful preacher there now. He's going to end up leaving. There's no, because he's not getting the support from the elders. What's going to happen? I'm not a prophet. You're not either. But we can figure things out. What's going to happen if that continues? That church is going to fall away. Because the next preacher that comes in is going to be loose. He's going to be lax. And the false doctrine is going to continue. That's the danger of when unqualified men are put into the position. Unscripturally organized. But that leaves us with one more. Unscripturally unorganized. This is when there are qualified men present. They meet the qualifications that God has given in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus chapter 1. Those qualifications for elders. There are men in the group that meet it, but the congregation just won't appoint them for whatever reason. They just refuse to do it. If there are qualified men, God wants them to serve. And we have no right to get in the way of that. That is His plan and His path. Now, this could be done out of ignorance, right? Couldn't it? You simply don't know that there is a plurality of men who are qualified. It could be done out of ignorance. But something wrong done in ignorance is still what? It's still wrong. And it needs to be fixed. Now, we do not have elders here at Eastside. Which means we have two choices. We are one of these two. We are either scripturally unorganized, which means we do not have men who meet the qualifications, or we are unscripturally unorganized, which means we have qualified men, we just won't appoint them. We are one of those two. And we will answer for it. If we don't have qualified men, then we need to be qualifying ourselves. If we do, we need to appoint them. Because if we do nothing in either of those, we'll answer for that. This is very serious, and I want us to understand, and I know, and for our visitors, you probably don't hear a lot of lessons like this. This is a topic that needs to be taught on. This is God's pattern. It is His plan for how the local church is to be organized. We need to talk about it, and we need to do our very best to get it right. Now let's ask the next question. Why? Why do we need elders? What do you need those for? Why is that important? That's a fair question. It's an important question. So let's consider it. Why do we need elders? Because God said so. Because it's God's way. And He wants it that way. Period. End of discussion. Honestly, we could stop. I could go sit down. This is the only reason we need in order to do it. Why does somebody have to believe and be baptized in order to be saved? You ever thought about it? There's a long answer, I guess, but why does somebody have to believe and be baptized in order to have their sins washed away? Because God said so. Could He have chosen another way? Done whatever He wanted. But He chose that pattern. So what does He expect? That pattern. Turn back to Titus 1. I want to read it again. I'll turn. You don't have to turn. That's fine. I'll read it. Titus 1, verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. That's God's plan. That's what He wants. He knows what He wants. He's told us what He wants. So now we know what He wants. There are a lot of denominational groups who have chosen other ways. There are some religious groups who are ruled by the preacher, right? Have you ever known of a religious group where the preacher rules over? It's not God's way. It's not God's way. Never has been. There are other groups that are ruled by a deacon board or a convention or a council. It's not God's way either. God's plan is for each local congregation to have faithful elders, faithful men overseeing that group. That's what He wants. Turn to Mark 10. Let's look at something. When He's given us the way, all is not well until it's that way. Now again, we may be in the case of Iconium or Lystra in Acts 14. We may not be able to do anything about it at that moment. But we should never be okay with it. we should always be striving to make sure that there are faithful men in place to fill those roles. Mark 10. Remember what Jesus told the rich young ruler. Let's just actually read, starting in verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He doesn't argue with him. Apparently this man has been keeping these things. He says, "One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." This is what you need to do. One thing you lack. You need to sell what you have, give it to the poor, and give yourself over to the cross. Follow me. Bear your cross. Follow me. And verse 22, you get that just heartbreaking answer. "But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." He wasn't willing to put Christ first. Now, the reason I bring that example up, he says, one thing you lack. For all the good this man had done, was he still lacking? He was. He was still lacking. We need to do everything God's way. If we have qualified men here, if we do, and we know it, and we don't appoint them, what is it? "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." That's James 4, verse 17. I bring this up not to berate you. I bring this up because do we see how serious this is? It's not just a passing matter that we can sweep under the rug. This is extremely important. Now, again, we could end it with that. It's the only reason we need it. There are some other reasons that we'll point out. The work they perform is extremely important. And we can get an idea of the work that elders perform by the names that elders are called by the different words that are used to describe it. This shows us some of the things they do. For example, elders. This is the word that they're usually called by. Means older men. And that means men of spiritual maturity. Now, not a young man. Not a novice. So age is a factor. But it doesn't mean an old man. You don't have to be 95 to qualify to be an elder. But you're also not going to be 25. You say age is a factor. And it's especially connected to spiritual maturity. That is the emphasis with this word. He's a spiritually mature man. I know Christians who have been Christians for 40 years. And they make some incredibly immature spiritual decisions. They don't qualify. The age alone doesn't qualify you. It should have helped build maturity. But that has to be done through the labor and the desire to be what God wants you to be. Bishops is another word used to describe elders. It means overseers. Faithful guides. These are those who put God's word first in everything. Everything. One of the things about bishops and that word, this is a man who's going to cling to God's instructions no matter what. Personal situations not going to change his decision. What if his own family, what if his own daughter is in a situation and now all of a sudden he starts rethinking? No, he's not. The faithful bishop will cling to God's word first, even if his brother or his cousin or his dad or his best friend, if they are in error, he will tell them and he will cling to what's right. He is an overseer. He is a guide to what is right in spiritual things. That's a description of what elders should be. I do want to mention this. This is sort of a side point. Whenever elders are mentioned, it's always in the plural. There is never do we see in the New Testament one man shepherding a flock. It's always a plurality. So there are at least two. Just one thing to keep in mind. Another word used is pastors. The word pastor means shepherd. The religious world has absolutely butchered this word. Whenever the New Testament uses the word pastors, it's referring to elders. It's not referring to preachers. This is the job of elders, to guide and to feed the flock. That is always God's intention. Turn to Acts 20. While you're turning there, Vine's New Testament dictionary says of pastors, it involves tender care and vigilant superintendence as of the elders of a local congregation. Acts chapter 20, we get to see this. Verse 17. just to set the context. Paul is traveling back, verse 17, from Miletus. He sends to Ephesus and calls for the elders of the church there to come to him and Miletus. Now flip over to verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. And again, you just see the different roles of an elder. They are to watch. They are to protect. They are to feed the flock. They are to guide. That's the role that the elders are to do. Turn to Hebrews 13. Do we appreciate the work that's done by faithful elders? Those congregations that have them, I hope and pray they realize what a blessing it is. Notice what the Hebrew writer says. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you. He's speaking of elders. And be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Elders, watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Man, this work is serious. They will have an account to give before God for the work that they have done in shepherding a local flock. That's serious. They watch out for your souls. There are a lot of jobs that affect lives, right? Firefighters affect lives. Nurses and doctors affect lives. Elders affect souls. Do we see how important this work is? Do we appreciate it as we should? There's no greater work or responsibility than caring for souls. This, again, a point needs to be made here. This sets the work of elders apart from deacons. Deacons, who are to serve under elders, primarily handle the physical things. And there are some spiritual things that they can deal with, but it is the job of elders to handle the spiritual, the souls. Deacons serve under the elders. Now, the elders' job is not to worry over the color of the carpet. They have the right to make that decision. They have the power and authority, but they are concerned about souls. Do we see the difference? There's a huge difference in focus and responsibility between an elder and a deacon. Let me say one other thing. The work of elders, it is a work. It's not a title. If anyone ever wants to be an elder for the title of an elder, they've already disqualified themselves. That's not it. It's not a job. It's not something to put on a resume and say, hey, look, I'm an elder. It is a work. It is a serious work. It's a hard work. One other category we can look at is the blessings that they provide. One, which is just such a great thing, focused leadership. When you have concerns and issues, you know who to go to. You can take it to the elders of a group. They provide a central and a focused leadership. Turn to Acts chapter 11. Barnabas and Saul have relief for the needy saints at Judea. Notice what they do with it. Acts chapter 11. Let's look at verse 29. Let's mention what's going on in 28 to give us an idea of why this is happening. There is a great famine throughout all the world that happened during the days of Claudius Caesar. So with that in mind, with the great famine, pick up in verse 29. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Judea was hit particularly hard by this. This they did also and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Saul are acting as the messengers. They take the relief. And who do they give it to? The elders. Because why would they do that? Because they know what to do with it. Who knows the flock better than the shepherds? So when the relief comes, it's given to the shepherds, and they in their wisdom distributed it and took care of the needs of the saints there. This makes sense. Shepherds know the needs of the flock. Another point, problems are dealt with more effectively. You know, I am not coming down hard on business meetings. I have been extremely thankful that since I've been here with you guys, never has there been a rough business meeting that I've been part of. I am grateful for that. It's not always the case. But that's not God's plan. It's the best we can do until we get what He wants. But don't ever become satisfied with it. Has there ever been delays on a decision in a business meeting? Men, has there ever been a delay in a decision made in a business meeting? Once or twice? How about this? When I obeyed the gospel, started attending. Yeah, I had joined with the group there at Oak Grove, and I started attending the business meetings. I wanted to be involved. I wanted to learn. 4 months or so. And we're sitting there, and the men in a business meeting decide to vote on an issue. My vote as a four-month Christian counts just as much as a man who has been a faithful rock for 50 years. Does that seem crazy to anybody else? I didn't know much of anything. Call for a vote. Mine counts just as much as Gladden Gibson, who would later become one of the elders there. Guys, and this is not, I know we're all for democracy and all that stuff, but do we see where that can cause problems? You've got people like me who, if we had been talking about a false doctrine, there are a lot of false doctrines I didn't even know about. I may have unwittingly said, oh, sounds good to me. See, do we see why God's plan is better? Wise, godly men making those decisions. One other thing that comes up when dealing with members who are maybe slacking, not doing what they're supposed to, the old, did you talk to him? I thought you were going to talk to him. Was I supposed to talk to him? And then, okay, well, next month, will somebody... See, that stuff doesn't happen with elders. It gets dealt with because they are the focused leadership and they can deal with problems more effectively. One other thing, just a side point, the flock is seen to and sustained. Sheep are needy. Christians are sheep. Sheep are needy. They tend to wander off. They need somebody watching out for them. And don't take that the wrong way. How wonderful is it to know that you have godly men watching out for your souls, laying in bed at night, thinking about your souls and praying for you and thinking, Lord, what can we do to help this group grow? You want that? I hope you want it. That's fantastic. And that's God's plan. That's His pattern for what the local group should be. And then one final reason, because God said so. Right? He wants it that way. It's His plan. And if a pattern has been set by the Lord, doesn't that end all discussion? The pattern of scriptural organization is just as important as the pattern He set for worship, the pattern He set for salvation, the pattern He set for good works, right? If He gave you a pattern, what does He expect you to do? He expects us to do it. Now, His will should be our will. Do we see the need for this? I hope that we do. And as a group, are you ready to be led by godly men? Pray that you are. Are you ready for this local church to be organized according to God's plan? Pray that you are. Men, if you are qualified, are you ready to lead? Because that's actually one of the qualifications, is the desire. Are you ready to do that? I pray that you are. This is what God wants. Now, this is a prayerfully serious matter. And this, the outline that you have that says the need for elders, I would ask you to keep it and hold on to it, because every third week or so we're going to look at lessons on elders, and I would like for you to keep those together. And when the time comes in a few months where we decide to put names forward of men who may be qualified, I'd like for you to take those out and go through them again and look at these things that we've talked about. Look at the qualifications. Think about these things. And if you lose them, I'm going to put them together later. So I'll give them to everybody, because that's totally going to happen. But that's okay. But be thinking about these things. And most important, even more important than any of that, I would ask you to pray every single day that Eastside have faithful elders overseeing. Whether that comes in the next few months, whether that comes in the next couple years, whenever, pray for that. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not only pray for those who could be qualified now. How long do you want elders? Faithful elders. Not just any. Not the unqualified stuff. How long do you want faithful elders overseeing this group? I hope we have them until Christ comes back. Right? How's it going to happen? Young men need to start developing themselves now. They need your prayers too. Do you pray about this? In your prayers, we pray for our family. We pray for the health of this congregation. Do we pray specifically for elders? We need to. This is that important. Go and get your songs out.